at some cotton fields. And I was looking at these fields with him, and I asked him, you know, how much crop rotation went on in Crockett County. And he told me the closest thing to crop rotation in Crockett County was when the cotton picker turned around at the end of the field. And that was my first education on continuous cotton, Tom, that's been going on, you know, 100 plus years, like you mentioned. But that, you know, certainly changed this past year due to the commodity prices. The big things on crop rotation and weed control, which is what I was asked to discuss today. I thought there's a number of aspects we can discuss, but there was two in particular I thought I'd mention. And the first is one of the real benefits to crop rotation. And it can be a great glyphosate or herbicide-resistant management tool. And in the environment we live today, I know Ken Smith discussed this very well yesterday, and the threat that particularly glyphosate-resistant weeds are in cotton production, this could be a great tool for us to manage that problem. There are drawbacks, and Tom mentioned it. One of them is just managing volunteer Roundup Ready crops from year to year. And indeed, it is harder, but it's only going to get more difficult as time goes on because more herbicide-resistant traits are being incorporated. The GAT gene from DuPont in a year or two, the dicamba gene, 2,4-D genes, those things are going to be coming out in the next 5 years, so it will be more difficult. Just kind of getting back to where we are, particularly in Tennessee, this was a very common shot just prior to cotton planting in 2006, 2007 in Tennessee. And that's all glyphosate-resistant horseweed. They put a burn down on it, and the jury was out on whether we were going to kill it or not. And the thing that really shocked me about it is there was 20 to 25 horseweed per square foot. I just can't get over the populations we're seeing now. In 2003, 2004, it was half that. A bad stand of horseweed was about 10. And that really doubled. And, you know, we were getting 90-plus percent control on 10 plants per square foot. That's all right. On 25, it's a lot more difficult. And as a result, a lot of our fields, we have a few glyphosate-resistant mare's tails in our cotton fields. And the question I get, you know, does this affect yield? And we actually did a study a couple years on this. This is the data from the 04 and 05, where we looked at 5 horseweed per square foot, and we took them out at various growth stages. And we found that if you just let 5 horseweed per square foot, particularly this was some drier springs, compete up just at the second leaf, you can lose up to 40% of your yield. So it can take away yield. How low do we need to go not to have yield loss? It's probably going to be somewhere around 1 to 2. Can we do that with some timely herbicide applications? Yes. Would rotation be a real good addition to help us manage it? And I think that's absolutely yes. This was a study that my colleagues at UT and I ran in 03 to 05, where we looked at the effect of crop residue from the previous crop on glyphosate-resistant horseweed emergence. And what we found was that corn, following corn, we saw half the number of glyphosate-resistant horseweed come up than we did in cotton or soybeans, and it's all due just to the residue on the ground. Horseweed needs two things to germinate and get going. It needs actually three: temperature, water, and it needs light. You don't think about light, but light's very crucial in getting weeds to emerge. So a year of corn, you can help cut down some horseweed that may be an issue in your cotton the next year. The big thing, and Ken mentioned this yesterday, is the threat, and the big threat that glyphosate-resistant Palmer pigweed it has become. I took these couple pictures this past year just from the pickup truck where we see patches out in the field that aren't dying. After a couple shots of glyphosate. And when you take a little closer look, when you have dead and live plants in the same field, you need to be concerned, and you need to implement some kind of management tool. This grower asked me what to do, and I said, would you consider putting corn on that field? I can give you pretty good answers on pigweed on corn, particularly when it has one of those irrigation rigs in the back. So $4 corn, $8, $9, $10 soybeans can be really good long-term cotton production herbicide-resistant management tools and probably should be utilized as we go forward. But just rotation for the sake of rotation isn't enough. We really need put a strategy together that's going to manage these resistant weeds in between crops. So what are some of the benefits of crop rotation as far as weed resistance, particularly managing weed resistance? And the big thing is just using herbicides with different modes of action. It's one thing to rotate the crop, but we have to rotate the herbicides in the crop if we're going to take care of resistance. Some other things as far as just managing herbicide or herbicides used in alternate crops can be a lot easier to apply. And, you know, putting atrazine over the top of corn is, of course, going to be easier than dragging a hood through cotton. And also, herbicides used in alternate crops can be a little more economical. Atrazine, dicamba, 2,4-D, these are pretty economical herbicides, and will really work on the weeds we're really concerned about with resistance today. Some considerations that can be a problem, rotating herbicides does not always mean rotating modes of action. And the big thing is glyphosate used on cotton or soybeans is the same thing as glyphosate used on corn. And I think some folks kind of lose sight of that, and we're starting to see some issues there. On down the road with resistance, and it can be an issue, you have to kind of consider this. Atrazine and Syncor is the same mode of action as some common herbicides we used in cotton, like Caprolol, Cotteran, and Dyrex. Also, earlier crop harvesting corn, when we're out there harvesting in August, can provide several months for resistant weeds to become kind of a backdoor way for them to blow up their populations, even if you're doing a good job up until harvest. I get questions from growers, and I have glyphosate-resistant horseweed in my cotton. Can I rotate to soybeans? Soybeans are a good price. I really don't want to fool with corn with anhydrous prices up over $600 a ton. Can I manage it in soybeans? Well, yeah, you can. But you better not just rely on Roundup to do it. And we do have some folks that just, they go to another crop and they'll just stick with Roundup. You got to rotate your herbicides. And even in soybeans, we really don't have a lot better options in soybeans than we do in cotton. First rate is probably our best one if we tank mix it in there, but we have to get it on timely or you'll have a mess like this. If you look real close, you can see a few soybeans in that shot. So looking at horseweed competition in soybeans, this is just 1 year data. Horseweed in soybeans isn't as competitive as it is in cotton, but it still can hit you. And if you let five horseweed per square foot compete with you up to the just emergence or up to V2 to V3, you're going to lose somewhere around 5% of your yield. At $8, $9, $10 soybeans, that can set you back. So rotation in soybeans isn't probably as good a fit in a lot of cases, some of these resistant weeds. Of course, the best fit you always think about is corn. And indeed, it is a great, as I mentioned, we have some pretty good avenues there. But glyphosate-resistant horseweed cannot be controlled in corn if all you're going to use is glyphosate. And even if you throw in a quarter and a half of atrazine, we're not getting real good control of horseweed in a lot of these cases in these corn fields. We have to be a little more aggressive than that if we're going to make it work. And in Tennessee this last year, around 70% of our corn acres were Roundup ready. And when you use that gene and you buy that corn with that technology, you're wanting to use the herbicide. And I can understand that, but we still need to use a lot of these other herbicides to manage resistant weeds. One of the things we're seeing in Tennessee that's really becoming a concern to me is giant ragweed starting to become an issue in our cotton. And giant ragweed's kind of unique. We're not really calling it resistant. It's just always been very tolerant to glyphosate. If you look at our weed control manual, Tennessee weed control manual, on a 1 to 10 scale, with 10 being complete control, on a good day, Roundup's going to give you about a 6, about 60% control. That's putting it on very small, ideal growing conditions. Everything's working real well. What we're finding in some of these fields now where the giant ragweed, which really was always a ditch weed, is moving out into these fields, is just relying on Roundup to take them out isn't doing it. This had two shots of Roundup on it. They put a hood through it with Ignite. That's what the field looked like at the end of the season. The question I get on that, well, what about rotating again to soybeans in this case? Well, yeah, we could go to soybeans here. In this particular farmer, we actually had soybeans on the field the next year. It still had a lot of giant ragweed in there. The giant ragweed still had a lot of good tolerance to Roundup. And we put some treatments out on these fields, and that's pretty much what we looked at. We had a quarter Roundup, basically let the giant ragweed go, and we had some big issues. If we put a Cadillac rate out there, 44 ounces of Roundup WeatherMax and 6/10 ounce of First Rate, that's about a $37 treatment. We could beat them down enough that we could get a soybean crop out of it. If you're trying to decide, well, should I go soybeans or should I go corn, you could probably get the same controlled corn for about $18 to $20. So you have to kind of think those through, too, if you're looking at balancing out the crop. So looking at crop rotation, should I go corn or should I go soybeans? I mentioned some of this, but and one of the big things that come by is the economics of it. I'm a weed scientist, not an economist, but though it really plays the bottom line on which one we're going to rotate to. And, the big things that go into that, of course, are commodity prices, and that's what's driving it today. But you have to also take into account the input costs that go in with it, and particularly with corn, with the nitrogen prices so high now, it's going to discourage a lot of that. One of the big things I think that kind of blindsided a lot of folks rotating this past year, especially a lot of folks that grew cotton and went corn for the first time, were the basis prices. They were getting $3.75 at the river, but after they took a dollar basis off, it was $2.75. And when you didn't have any on-farm storage, you really took a licking. So you have to kind of think about those things, too, just on-farm storage. You don't think about that, but even in trying to decide which crop to go for managing resistant weeds, you need to think about it. From a weed management standpoint, though, grain sorghum or corn is going to be a better rotation partner if we're going to try and manage some of these broadleaf resistant weeds. And as I mentioned, atrazine, Princip, dicamba, those bleaching herbicides, Callisto Impact that just came out that you can use on corn, are terrific small-seeded broadleaf weed control options. And it should be employed more than they are today. But those are all real good options that we really don't have in soybeans or cotton. One thing I did want to point on is just late emerging weeds in corn. I mean, we can do a good job right up to tassel taking care of weed control, but as that corn starts to dry down, light hits the ground, you can see late flushes of palmer pigweed. And if you're trying to manage resistance, this can be a backdoor way of seeing a lot of those palmer pigweeds produce seed on you and you not really pay attention. Because even running the bush hog over it at the end after you cut that corn, they're still going to produce seed. And when we're harvesting it in August and September, we got a couple months for palmer pigweed to get another generation on us. Managing volunteer Roundup Ready crops. Tom mentioned this, and it becomes more of a problem all the time. The primary one I see every year is Roundup Ready soybeans and cotton. And there's really only one thing I know that works very well on it, and that's Invoke. 1/10 of an ounce Invoke does a terrific job on it. We do see a little bit of inconsistency where we have STS soybeans that are volunteer, but still it's probably our best option. Volunteer Roundup Ready corn, we have a lot of options there. And soybeans, on occasion when we do have some volunteer Roundup Ready cotton resource, we'll do a pretty decent job on it. So just kind of in summary on rotation effect and weed control, crop rotation can be a very effective weed control strategy and probably is something we're going to need to employ on some of these very resistant weed fields with high populations. But when we're rotating crops, remember to rotate the herbicides within the crop. Don't forget your weed control after the crop has been harvested, and then you have to start thinking ahead of time managing volunteer Roundup Ready crops for the next year.